It's straight up at 8 o'clock, and it is, of course, Wednesday, and that means we've got the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services with us. This is Lorraine Gilbert. Lorraine, by the way, is the Silver Tongue Award winner here for Takeover, and congratulations, first of all, Lorraine, and thank you for being here this morning.
Well, thank you so much, Ed. That was a lot of fun, raising money for the radio station and getting the community involved, and we're honored to be the winners of the Silver Tongue Award.
I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but $8,000 you raised for the radio station, that is a nice chunk of change. And the thing I want to say, your musical taste was insanely cool. You have great musical taste.
Oh, well, thank you. It was fun putting that together, a playlist.
All right.
It was lots of fun.
Well, we thank you so much for supporting the radio station in the way you do, and certainly thank you for being here each and every Wednesday explaining what's happening in the economy to us. I've got a wide variety of stuff to hit you with today.
Great.
If it's okay. So we know that last Friday, major stock indexes hit an all-time high here. But we've had the slowest job growth since the economic recovery began last week. New unemployment claims are remaining steady. And COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are spiking. So in light of all that news, why were markets so bullish?
Well, you know, the vaccine is a game changer, and all the focus right now is on the future, not the present. So even though we are having a spike in cases, we know there's the light at the end of the tunnel, and that vaccine is on its way out. So with that, the markets are looking forward. And when we look at the drivers of what's going to help our markets, we look at reopening of America. We look at GDP growth expectations, and GDP growth expectations, you know, consensus is somewhere between 3% and 4% next year. That's incredibly high, 3% to 4% GDP as an annualized GDP growth rate. So we're back on track to growth. And with that, if we look at projections on the S&P 500, looking at 2021, we're looking at probably 3,900. On the S&P 500, and if we look at what's happening in trading right now, we have more breadth of the market. Now we have 90% of the S&P 500 stocks trading above their 200-day moving average, which is a technical indicator of breadth of the market. And with that, that also bodes well for a stronger market when we have more breadth to our market. So all of those things point to a positive market in 2020.
Okay. Now, some analysts are forecasting more than a 15% increase in year-over-year earnings for the first quarter of next year and nearly a 45% jump in the second quarter and ending up with a 22% rise for all of 2021. I think my question is all the good economic news for next year already priced in, and is there a danger of being unrealistically bullish?
Well, there's always risks out there in the market of what is the unknown. I mean, just right. The big unknown this year, of course, was COVID. We didn't know that was coming around the corner. And I said at the end of last year, end of 2019, as we were coming into 2020, we thought we would see the Dow hit 30,000 sooner than later. Right. Now here we are, a little bit later than sooner, but it happened in 2020. So there's always risks in the market. Look at the overall picture. I would say, not all of the good news has hit the markets yet. And I think we're going to see a lot more enthusiasm in the markets as there is more of a reopening.
Okay. I want to talk. We spoke a little bit last week about Tesla, and they're just through the roof. Tesla, I guess, is valued more than the next seven car companies combined. That's an insane amount. They plan to sell additional shares worth $5 billion. Is there a limit to how much Tesla can grow?
Well, here's the reason that it has such a high valuation right now, and that is that it's not just a car company, and the things that they're looking at with their technology, is to leverage their technology into many other areas, robotics, AI, different kinds of things. So it's truly a technology company, and that's where there is so much excitement. And as I mentioned before, Tesla's joining the S&P 500, and we're getting a real run-up in that stock right now with that anticipation. As people start to mimic their portfolio with some of those company names, we've seen also an increase in that Tesla stock. So it is. Okay. It continues to grow, and I would say, you know, who knows where the limit is on that company, especially now that it's entering the S&P 500.
Right. So there may be no ceiling. They may just be blowing right through. Are you still predicting that Tiffany will be the one to be dumped off the S&P 500?
I am, but I haven't heard any news yet, and you know, they don't want to let the cat out of the bag on that
of
one
course
for right
not.
Now. So
of
it's
course
gonna be not. We'll wait and see what happens.
Okay. I've got a question about Airbnb, because they're about to go public. And let's just say I'm this guy off the street that's got $5,000 or $10,000 I want to put into some. What's the process? What am I going to do with my $5,000? And is that not a smart idea? Will I come in, and will they already be priced higher than I'm able to afford buying decent
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, so let's talk about two things. Let's talk about IPOs as they come out. What's the process for an individual investor to invest in a company like that? And then separately, let's talk about someone that's kind of new going into the market. So on the first part of that question, I would say that, you know, people don't get access to those IPOs unless you're associated with the company that's bringing it to market. And then you might be able to get in, or you're associated with the company itself, like Airbnb. But once it hits the tape, once it hits, it has a ticker, is when people can place an order to buy. Now, the expectation of the price of Airbnb has been going up. It was, you know, $50 to $56, then $56 to $60, and who knows where it's going to hit. And so what somebody can do is, once there's a ticker and you can trade that ticker, then you could enter a limit buy order at a certain price.
Okay.
And then it will only buy it up to that price. And so that's a way to protect yourself on purchasing a stock, but maybe not paying more than you want to pay. So that's possible. And then as far as people investing, you know, people coming in, they haven't invested before, you have to be very careful. I mean, with these IPOs, you know, we think Airbnb has had good cash flow numbers, had private equity coming in. You know, there's a lot of good things about a particular stock, but there's also a lot of risk with any one stock. So investors need to realize that. And if they're just investing for the first time, beware, be careful. You know, somebody can go online and open an account with any variety of firms. But ultimately, as you start building wealth, look to work with a professional who can give you some guidance.
Okay, so that would be your best advice to a first-time investor, is work with a professional. Don't try it on your own.
Well, I wouldn't say that necessarily. Okay. I think oftentimes people, when they don't have much money and they're just starting out, oftentimes do it on their own. But once you start accumulating any kind of greater wealth, you know, in other words, hundreds of thousands of dollars, right, is when you need to start looking at working with an advisor.
Okay. All right. That makes perfect sense. Thank you. So we're talking about now a new relief package. And we know that this was going to be my dumb guy question. So we know that there's going to be relief for businesses. We know that there's going to be a relief package, and it's going to add to the debt. We know that stimulus payments to individuals is going to add to the debt, as well as the infrastructure that we want to do. Not that adding to the debt is ever great, but if there ever was a good time that we could add to the debt and take care of all of these things, isn't it now the best time that interest rates are so low?
Great question, Ed. First of all, I'd like to say I've said all along we were going to have this stimulus package when many people were doubting that we would. And, you know, it shows, you know, the federal government, people in Congress on both sides of the aisle understand the difficulties that our Americans are having and have wanted to come to terms. And I think we're going to see that. And when it comes to adding to the debt, debt is a long-term, our U.S. debt is a long-term commitment. And while interest rates are low today, they won't be low forever. So any kind of debt that we add on is adding future payments at higher interest rates, which is going to be harder for our government to pay that debt off because the interest is going to be more and more. Okay. So it is problematic, and yet right now it is necessary. And so right now we're having to say, even though at some point we're going to have to pay that debt off as a nation, we do need it now. Right. And so, you know, I think that's where it comes to how much debt do we take on? And then to your point about infrastructure, I think there are some debt that's better than other debt. Right. And infrastructure, I do think, is a good way to spend money at the federal government level. And I do think that our infrastructure needs to be addressed. So even though that's going to cost us a lot of money and that we are going to have to pay it back, I would say that's another good way to spend money at the federal level.
So infrastructure is a worthy goal for debt, even if it doesn't. Right. It's worthy. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. With COVID rocking the employment landscape for job seekers, some women have taken this opportunity to reinvent themselves and take charge of their own financial futures by launching a business. You have written about that recently. Can you tell us about that? What should they look for?
Yeah, so in every recession, we see people starting businesses realizing, hey, wait a minute, I either lost my job or I want to have, you know, the ability to grow my own business. And it's been a dream for many people. And what we've seen, by the way, is we've had a 13-year high on new business starts. So incredible. And once again, just reflective of where the economy has been as people have lost their jobs. And so for women to reinvent themselves is a great opportunity to think about where are the areas that there might be a need. Like we talk about the supply chain disruption that's been underway where people, you know, needed help going to the grocery store or, you know, finding things like toilet paper and things like that. So filling in the gaps for those supply chain disruptions has been an area where people could think about starting a business. Another thing that I'll say, though, unfortunately, is that venture capital is at a low again for women startup businesses. And it's unfortunate. We had started to make a progress in the area of venture capital being interested in women-owned businesses. But once again, that has somewhat dried up as venture capitalists themselves become concerned in a disrupted economy. And so, you know, women businesses need capital. They need help. And with that, for women, for female entrepreneurs, to think about connecting with other female entrepreneurs through different kinds of organizations, things like NAVO, National Association of Women Business Owners, or venture capital ideas that are focused towards female entrepreneurs. There are avenues like that. So I would encourage women business owners, female entrepreneurs to look at those opportunities.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. And what do you have your eye on for the next week? Where are you focused in the next week or so? What are you looking at?
Yeah. So we're still looking at year-end strategies for our clients. And right now we're working with our client CPAs to see, talk about this idea of tax loss harvesting and where can we, are there any losses that we can take against the gains? And there have been a lot of gains this year. So even though it was a difficult year early on in March, since then the markets have gone up and people have experienced gains and mutual funds are distributing capital gains. So any kind of losses that we can take against gains is helpful for our clients, and that's what we're doing. We're also helping nonprofits really try and shore up their contributions towards the end of this year, and I'm going to be giving a presentation this weekend for a nonprofit with regards to how they can tap into their donor base to for people to give charitable contributions in a tax-effective way. We talked a little bit about that last week, Ed. Right. But that's where people are focused right now. Just like I helped helped the radio station in Laguna Beach, Laguna Beach Radio, we're also helping other nonprofits as well.
Well, you're helping everybody. You really are. I just again, you on a weekly basis come out here and you share information that we just don't have. So I really appreciate that. Laureen Gilbert, President, CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, winner of the KXFM Silver Tongue Award. And again, congratulations there. Laureen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. And if anybody wants to reach us, just reach out to WealthWiseFinancial.com.
All right. And do we have a phone number as well?
949-748-1177.
Laureen, as always, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.